Good afternoon. It's Pastor Brandon. It's Good Friday. And just wanted to spend a few moments with you and reflect about what this day means for us as Christians. We had planned a tenebrae service this evening, focusing on the seven last words of Christ. The choir was going to sing. It was going to be a beautiful and meaningful service. The temptation was to create that here in the sanctuary this evening. But I think we'll wait. I think we'll wait, and we'll do that next year when things are clear. And so today I just want us to let the story do most of the talking and to reflect on that day. Let Scripture do most of the talking. You know, growing up, Good Friday was actually one of my favorite days. It was confusing when I was young. I didn't understand how on earth we could call this day good. As I grew up and understood Scriptures and was able to sort of view things through the lens of the cross and what that means for my salvation and for your salvation, then certainly it makes sense that we call today Good Friday. But growing up, it was a favorite day for an entirely different, non-theological reason. Growing up, Good Friday was planting day for my granddad, who I call Pawpaw. And he was so excited for this day to come. He had a small farm, about 30 acres there in Georgia. And according to the Farmer's Almanac, today, Good Friday was the safe bet for planting. I like nothing more than spending time with him on that farm. And so today was that sort of first day of spring that you get to do that. It's interesting because he would work so hard all summer long, planting a little bit of everything. And mostly what he did with it was give it away to friends, to family, to anybody who'd stop by, and certainly to anybody who was in need. So I think about him a lot on Good Friday. Most of you, if you're listening to this, have probably heard this story. He was my best friend. He was my hero. When I was a freshman in high school, I believe that's right, we were gathered around for lunch, a Sunday after church, December 15th. I was about 16 years old, and there in the living room before lunch, he had a massive heart attack. Now, I was a lifeguard. I'd been trained in CPR, and so I went to work, doing my level best to save him. And didn't work. It didn't work. Despite my best efforts, the best efforts of the EMTs and the hospital staff, he died. And that was probably my first theological crisis, I think. Fortunately, it didn't last long. But you see, I was forced to reckon with the goodness of God despite circumstances around me. The goodness of God despite the fact that I had prayed in earnest for him to do something, and he chose to remain silent. Now, it's easy to understand why at first I was a bit confused. You see, me and God, we had a really good track record going. When I was in middle school, our pastor at the time at the Baptist church I attended was in a really bad wreck. It did not look good. The church gathered. We prayed. And he recovered. Sometimes later, my uncle was in a bad accident. The church gathered. We prayed. And despite the odds, he recovered. See, for the most part, growing up, my prayer request had about 100% batting average, Hall of Fame quality. And so here I was, forced to reconcile the fact that I had prayed to God in earnest, and that prayer had not been answered. It was confusing. I didn't understand. Well, what I learned to do, though, was that when I encounter things that I don't understand, that I don't know, that I can't make sense of, then I fall back on what I know. I fall back on what I can trust. Most of those things that I can fall back on were things that I learned in Sunday school a long time ago at Harlem Baptist Church, where I learned that God is good, where I learned that he loves me. And as I grew older and studied more, where I learned that he is working all things out for his glory. All things, not some things. So it's in times like these that we encounter ourselves today, where not a lot in the world is making sense right now. But I think it's instructive for us to remember that. This is not the first time in history that things didn't make a whole lot of sense. Think about Good Friday. Imagine you're one of Jesus's close disciples, one of his friends. Imagine you're his mother. So much hope. So much promise. Surely he was the one. And yet, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, we read this. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and he washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all of the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then they released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, they delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters. They gathered the whole battalion before him. They stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head, and they put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him. They took a reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. They went out and they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross, and when they came to a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two robbers who were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left, those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, Save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. So the chief priest with the scribes and elders, they mocked him, saying, he can save others, but he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and then we'll believe in him. He trusts God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were with him mocked and reviled him also. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man is calling Elijah. One of them at once ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, let's wait. Let's wait and see whether Elijah will come and save him. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion who had saw those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joseph the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate ordered it to be given to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. So much hope in this man named Jesus. And then they arrested him, convicted him, stripped him naked, beat him, placed a crown of thorns upon him, and mocked him without mercy. They made him carry his own cross until he was too weak to continue. They got to Golgotha, they nailed him to that cross and watched and laughed as he suffered and died. And as they mocked and as they taunted, what was Jesus' response to the Father? He cried, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. To the criminal who said, remember me, he says, you will be with me in paradise. To John, he says, take care of my mom. In distress, he cried out, I thirst. And in triumph, he cried out, "It is finished." And to the Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. They took his body. They wrapped it. They put it in a tomb. And they sealed it. And they left him there. Because that's what you do with dead bodies. The disciples scattered. The women were bewildered. The temple elders, the Roman authorities, they washed their hands. So much for the prophet from Nazareth. I can't imagine what his friends and his mom were feeling. And yet, amid all of the grief, amid all of the horror, amid all of that, amid all the pain, God was working out the greatest act of salvation history. That worst day enables our best day. But it's early in the story. It's the afternoon of Good Friday. It seems like anything but good. But Sunday's coming. But for now, we sit in that tension of a crucified, dead, and buried Savior. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we confess that often we are like those Roman authorities. We wash our hands and move on. We don't think too much about Jesus of Nazareth. We're busy. We've got problems of our own, things to do. Slow us down. Stir our hearts. That we would cast our eyes upon that cross and upon our Savior. That we would hear and believe his words. It is finished. That on that horrible day, amid the pain and the grief and the suffering, the sins of those who would cast their hopes and their beliefs on Jesus of Nazareth were paid. Would you press that knowledge in our hearts so we would quit trying to earn salvation? That we would live into salvation? Would you press it deep in our hearts so that we would be compassionate and patient with those who have not professed belief in you? Would you stir our hearts in affection for them so that we would pray mightily, that they would see, they would believe, and that we would walk patiently with them as they work out just what that means. Father, it is a day of prayer and fasting for our brothers and sisters throughout the EPC, through the PCA and the ACNA. Many others have joined to take time today to both reflect on what Good Friday means, but also to cry out to you for help in our time of need. Mighty God, you have the power to end this disease, COVID-19, with a whisper of your voice. And so that is our cry, that is our heart's cry for you to act in a mighty way so that your name would be glorified, to end this plague, to end this suffering. We trust your timing. But oh, how we long for you to act now. Would you be with those who are on the front lines? EMTs, nurses, doctors, but also those who are working hard to keep us fed in the grocery stores and in restaurants. Would you pray for, we pray for those who are alone and isolated, whether at home or in nursing homes or hospitals, who can't be with their loved ones. We pray that you would make your presence known to them, that you would wrap your arms around them and they would feel the grace of your embrace. Father, I pray that we would not waste our suffering in this moment. That in this time, we would take inventory of the idols in our life. We would take inventory of our relationship with you. That we wouldn't leave this period the same. That we would bear the marks of Christ. That as a church, we would be seen as a beacon of hope. A group of people who love generously, who give almost recklessly. We have much to be thankful for. Stir our hearts with gratitude. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Have a good day. We'll see you Easter morning. I love you guys. I miss you. I can't wait till we celebrate together. And we will. We'll celebrate together soon. Take care.